Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. That's Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 6. This is Sandra Flack, your host. Welcome to Orphans No More. Joining us today is Bible College graduate, blogger at Advocating for the Orphan, and adult adoptee, Jacob Sturgis. Welcome to the show, Jacob.
Thank you for having me, Sandra.
It is an honor to have you. I know you are a busy man advocating for the orphan, and I'm just so thankful for all that you do and that you're with us today. Let's start at the beginning of your story. You were adopted from Korea when you were 15 months old. Share with us what you know about your story, your birth story, and your adoption.
When I was preparing to come on, I was going through some of my adoption papers that my adoptive parents have given me over the years. And I began to look at just some of the things that I have, the very little of what I have of my birth mother. My birth mother was 31 years old when she had me. She was the youngest in her family. She had a couple older siblings. And both of her parents had passed away at a very young age where she was. And she became a seamstress, not even finishing high school. And she basically, when she had me, she basically had no one. In October of 87, she met this guy who was about 10 years older than her, and they ended up living together, and then she finds out about 2 months later that married to someone else. Mm-hmm. And so she decides to part ways with him, and then she finds the unexpected that she's pregnant. And when she finds out that she's pregnant, in my mind, I'm thinking, what did she do? And she decides to carry me, to keep me and take care of me. And on August 22nd, 1988, I was born. And so she kept me as long as she could. As a single parent, she did the best she could. She loved me. She cared for me. She provided for my needs and protected me. But about 11 months old, I became very sick, and she was afraid that she was going to lose me, too. She didn't have any money to buy any medication for me, and so she thought that the only best thing for me was to give me up for adoption, to give up her parental rights so that I could have a better future. And so in July of 1989, I was placed in a children's home. And then the next month, I was placed in my first foster home.
And at what point did you get adopted?
I was adopted. I came to the United States in December of 1989. Incredible. So I had been in the children's home foster care system in Korea for a couple of months.
So you were adopted by an American family. What was life like growing up adopted?
It was very different. My parents already had they had been married for about 7 to 8 years. They already had a teenage daughter that they brought into their marriage. And they lost 4 miscarriages during those 7, 8 years. And so they were very hurt. They were very broken. And my mother, who is an educator, thought that her only way to love kids was to teach, and she decides to do that. My dad brings up the topic of adoption, so they start that process. And so growing up, being adopted with an older sister who's about 14 years older than I am, I basically was like an only child. And so life growing up being adopted was nice because you did have a family. You did have people that loved you. But growing up later on, I began to feel kind of insecure because I wasn't like anyone in my family. I wasn't color-wise, color skin. I wasn't like everyone else that I went to church with or in the neighborhood or any friends. I was very insecure growing up as in being an adoptee from Korea. And so it was very difficult. But 10 years after I was adopted, my parents decided to do another adoption in 99, Mexico. And so they adopted a 13-year-old girl from Mexico who's 2.5 years older than I am. And so growing up then, it kind of helped that insecurity that I had growing up without anyone from a nationality other than American. And so having my sister at home helped me, but it's still something that I ponder on sometimes. What if it was like this, or what if it was like that? But I felt loved. I felt cared for, and I absolutely love my family.
That's a wonderful testimony to your family. And is that what led you to begin advocating for the orphan? I know you're very passionate about advocating for the orphan. So share with us what led you to the work you're doing today.
So I, being a college graduate, a Bible college graduate, and being in church, I had heard pastors and churches talk about caring for the poor, the needy, and everything. But I knew that I wanted to give back to the community that I came from. And so shortly after I graduated from Bible College in June of 2015, I decided that I would start my own blog and called Advocating for the Orphan. And it was a way for me to share not only my story, but also to share with other people that there are kids around the globe who don't have a mom or don't have a dad or don't have anyone to love them, to care for them, to provide for their needs. And so when I was started that process, I knew that I wanted to let the church, let Christians, and let others know that, hey, you can stand in the gap for these kids. You can love these kids and support adoptive families or foster families. And you're still caring and showing that love to the orphan as well. And so when I began to start this process of advocating, it started little by little. And now I'm able to connect with people like you, Sandra, with other ministries that have that same passion, and to partner with them and to encourage others to do the same. We can't do this alone, and we all need each other. Each of us have different gifts, and we can bring our gifts together to help love and care for the orphan.
Now, you also shared with me that in 2016, you attended the Christian Alliance for Orphans Orphan Summit. How was that experience?
Well, it was something that I wanted to do for so long, and I kept on putting it off. and putting it off. And I finally told myself, if I'm going to do this, I need to do it now. And so I decided that if I was going to go into this area of ministry of advocating for the orphan, I needed to connect with other people that had some experience. And so going down to Orlando, Florida, and to the summit in 2016, I was amazed. I was blown away to see how many people and how much the church actually began to be involved in this area of foster care, adoption, of global orphan care. When my parents adopted 20, 30 years ago, the church was actually not heavily involved or engaged in ministries like these. And so for them to hear now stories of the church and the faith-based communities coming around foster and adoptive families or coming and becoming engaged in the orphan, they are amazed to see how much the church has come to that point 20, 30 years ago. And so connecting at the summit was amazing. It was incredible. And I began to see each person is at different stages. We are not all at the finish line, but we are all working together to make sure that there are no more orphans.
And that is, you're very right. 20, 30 years ago, the church was not really awake to this issue. Many churches, sadly, today are still asleep on this issue, but your work and my work and what KFO is doing is really engaging and awakening and inspiring the church to begin to have this conversation and to step up for orphans and children in foster care. So, Jacob, will you be attending the summit in Dallas in 2018?
That is my hope. And my hope is last year I attended the summit in Nashville and my peers joined me for part of the summit for the general sessions. And that was their first experience to the summit. And so my goal this year is to bring others to join me for the summit in Dallas in 2018.
Yeah, yes. I will be there, so we'll have to connect and get a selfie together and meet in person. And I know it's incredible. There's like 2,000 plus people who are all like-minded with a heart for the orphan, for foster children, coming together in one place for a few days to strategize and to work together and to get that encouragement and to really get filled up and be able to bring this message back to their ministries, their churches. And it's incredible because there are folks from many, many, many different countries who also come to Summit. So it's an incredible experience. So if anybody's wondering about Summit and what that all is, if you're interested in attending, it's usually in a different major city across the United States every year. So in May 2018, it's in Dallas, Texas. And you can learn more if you go to CAFO.org. That's CAFO.org. Stands for Christian Alliance for Orphans. I just want to remind our listeners, this is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry, you can visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and my guest today is Bible College graduate and blogger at Advocating for the Orphan. He's also an adult adoptee, Jacob Sturges. So, Jacob, why do you have this passion to advocate for the orphan?
So I'm not in the position to foster or adopt. And it may sound contradicting when I share it with people that, hey, maybe you should foster or maybe you should adopt. But I am not in the position to foster and adopt right now. And so my way to get back to the community is to come alongside the church and to help the church find ways to engage in the kids in their own community or in their state. When I advocate, I want them to know, I want the church to know that they are not alone. There are people that you can go to. There are people that can encourage you, pray for you. There are many different ways that you can become engaged in the kids of the foster care system or in the orphan care movement. And so when I started advocating and why I advocate is because right now that's where the Lord has called me to. That is something that the Lord has given me passion for, and that is something that the Lord has called me to assist the church to become engaged with. There are many kids in our state, in our communities, that can that just need love and need support, and they want their voice to be heard. And so to have the church become engaged is a great way, and that is why I advocate, is because there are about a half a million children in the foster care system here in the U.S. There's about 153 million children around the globe who are orphans, and all they want is love. All they want is someone to tell them that they are loved, they are valued, and they are worth. That is all that matters to a child. And I know growing up, that is all that matters to me as an adoptee, is that I am loved and that I matter.
And every child needs to know that they are loved and that they matter. And you listed off some statistics that were there and that you just shared with us. And one that I'll add to that is you mentioned that there's almost 500,000 American children in the foster care system. And incredibly, there are over 100,000 of them that are available for adoption. Parental rights have been terminated. So here in the United States, there's literally 100,000 children who are basically orphans because they do not have a forever family. They need love. They need to know that they matter. And to me, there's something drastically wrong with the fact that we have this number of kids without families, because the church in the United States is more than able to eliminate that number down to zero. There should be no waiting children in the United States. There should be no orphans here. And that's something that I know both you and I are passionate about as we advocate. We want to see every child in a safe, loving family. And
yeah.
Okay. I was going to just repeat something you said earlier. You said, we can't do this alone. We need each other. It reminds me of that Farmer Herman book. Did you see do you know about the Farmer Herman book? And that's a wonderful children's book about a farmer, and it's based on a true story where a farmer, his barn kept flooding, and they got the idea that if they could just get the community together, they could pick up the barn, physically pick it up and move it to higher ground. And they could not do that themselves, but when everybody in the community came out and helped them, they were able to solve this huge problem by working together. And that book is available at KFO.org as well. And it's got a foster care theme to it. And that's the truth. If we all work together, the numbers sound so staggering and overwhelming that people can feel like, well, whatever I do won't matter. But oh yes, if we all come together, we can change these numbers and we can be sure that every child has a family. So Jacob, in addition to your blog, what other ways are you advocating for orphans?
So on December 15th, 1989, I came to the United States and was placed into my forever family. I was one of five Korean babies that were brought over to the United States that day. And the people that were on that flight in Des Moines, Iowa, where we were placed with a family The passengers on that flight were waited at that gate because all the other passengers were let off first, and then all five Korean babies were placed into the families. And so these people that were on this flight from Denver, Colorado to Des Moines, Iowa, got to witness the miracle of families, of orphans being placed into families. And it's extremely surprising and extremely joyful to know that that is just 10 days before Christmas. And so they got to see a miracle. And so on December 15th, I am reminded of the day that I was placed into my forever family. And I have used different social media. I did a 25-year anniversary of my adoption on YouTube. People can go and type in my name, Jacob Sturgis, and they can find my 25-year anniversary. And I have shared that with people, and I have gotten so many responses from other friends and family and other people who have heard my story and how much that has encouraged them. One of the gals that saw that 25-year anniversary video on YouTube wrote back to me and thanked me. She has three children, and her oldest two children are biological children, and then she adopted a child from the foster care system. And she wasn't quite sure how, as a, now a teenager, this child that she adopted out of the foster care system, how is life is going to turn. And she shared some struggles that, what do I do as a parent? And for her to see my story, to hear my story, that there is light at the end of the tunnel. It is not the end of the world. And for her to hear my story, that there are kids who love to share their story, that love to help people and encourage and cheer foster and adoptive families to know that there is still light at the end of the tunnel. Mm. And so I've used Twitter, I've used YouTube, I've used Instagram. And so there are other ways that I have done advocating besides writing on my blog.
And you are also an Orphan Sunday coordinator there in Minnesota. Tell us about that.
So I have been able to connect with several churches here in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area where I live here in Minnesota. And being able to step in as an Orphan Sunday coordinator has been exciting. One of the churches that I wrote to about Orphan Sunday was an Assembly of God church here in the cities, and they actually started talking to their congregation about foster care here in Minnesota. There are nearly about 6,000 children in the Minnesota foster care system, with just under 500 children waiting for a forever family. And so they began to find ways and began to figure out what ways can the church, our church, care and step in and love the orphan in Minnesota. And so they were able to have a panel of guests, and they were able to have a mom, a foster mom who had fostered several children. There was the private sector, the public, and the county sector. And there were many others on that panel. But for that church to become engaged, it was very exciting to see one church stepping in, just asking the question, what can we do? Not we are going to do this or we are going to do that, but what are ways that each of us can participate? Each of us, how can each of us bring our gifts and our talents and bring it together?
Mm.
And so that was exciting. And so as an Orphan Sunday coordinator, it is exciting to encourage the church to maybe just show the Orphan Sunday video. Maybe it's to pray, take some time to pray for the kids in the foster care system. And so maybe it is to sponsor children, or maybe it is to have some families foster or adopt. But what I've learned being part of Orphan Sunday and being part of CAFL is there are many different ways that the church can become engaged. Not everyone is called to foster or adopt, but everyone is called to do something. And that something may look very different to someone else. And so it is, as an Orphan Sunday coordinator, I have been cheering on these churches who have stepped up to do that.
Well, thank you so much, Jacob, because Orphan Sunday and its foster care version, Stand Sunday, their initiatives of Christian Alliance for Orphans, it is one day for the church to stand together with one voice for one purpose, to defend the cause of the orphan, foster kids, and even refugee children. It's the second Sunday in November. This year, it is November 12th for 2017. Our listeners can learn more about Orphan Sunday by going to orphansunday.org. Jacob, so thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. This is Sandra Flack. You can contact me at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.